And I was like, I want to give me some of that. So, yeah.
So you found yourself in community with other ambitious women for the first time.
For the first time ever. And it was like-minded. And I say like-minded all the time. And these women, like, with all different ages, sizes, races, religions, like, but it felt like a community.
So at that point, did you start to connect the dots and be like, these women are ambitious and I feel like they're like me. So maybe I'm ambitious.
No, honestly.
No, not yet.
No.
You're listening to Ambition Out Loud, the podcast for ambitious women tired of being underestimated and undervalued at work. Together, we're tackling workplace sexism, our own insecurities and self-doubt, and getting practical advice to move our careers forward. I'm your host, Nicole Magoo, and I'm an ambitious woman.
You should have seen that final show. I'm gonna go down swinging, and long after I am gone, when you hear that melody, you'll still remember me. That's how this girl is gonna carry on.
Hello, everyone. Today, I am speaking with Marcia Sheehan. She is the founder of a few pretty awesome organizations. One is Charmed Cardinals. That is also the organization that puts on the Connector Conference. I have participated in both of those organizations. And she is the founder of a new venture that's about to launch called Her Hideaways. So, Marcia, you are a really interesting perspective that I think is absolutely key for this audience. Why don't you, before we jump into all that, just take a moment to introduce yourself.
Well, first off, Nicole, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I have been a fan since launch day. So a little bit about me is I live in the Northern Virginia area. Nicole and I are actually in the same town. I am the mom of two boys. They're 10 and 9 right now. They're 23 months apart. So the 10-year-old's turning 11 in a couple weeks. And I have been with my husband since 1999. We got married in 2007. But so I'm like living the dream, you know? We're all doing well. Professionally, as Nicole had mentioned, I started a women's enrichment society called Charmed Cardinals in 2015. And that started because I saw a common theme of women who were in similar situations as me, who were business owners that felt pulled in way too many directions. And one of those directions was not her, like herself. So I wanted to provide an outlet for women to like reconnect with themselves. So I started Charmed Cardinals. And then last fall, we introduced the Connector Conference, which is one day events that are all about getting women to reconnect to themselves too. And then also Her Hideaways is launching. Those are going to be curated self-care staycations. So I have a business partner for this venture, and he and I are going to scout out small towns that are basically independently run with their merchants or vendors, you know, the shop owners, and then have these experiences for women to basically just prioritize themselves. So it's giving them like a blank slate to, you know, either be creative, like have a writer's retreat, to bring a girlfriend along so that they can do like a pamper type package, or just sleep the entire weekend, but we're curating them. It's very high touch. We are going to personalize each package and just remind women that it's okay to prioritize yourself. So that's a little bit about me, or a lot.
Awesome. All right. We'll definitely come back to some of those things in a little bit. One of the reasons that I think it was so important to connect with you and bring you on this podcast is because of your journey to uncovering your ambition. And I think that one thing that is definitely true is that the messaging that girls and women can grow up to be anything they want to be is not ubiquitous. It definitely wasn't ubiquitous for older generations and our generation. I don't think it's ubiquitous now in some parts of the country. And so I think it's okay for women to have permission to uncover their ambitions a little bit later in life and to be okay with shifting their perceptions of themselves as they evolve as people and they grow and mature. And so I'd love for you to just take us through a little bit of your journey towards discovering that, as you like to say it, you kind of were accidentally ambitious. So take us through that journey with you.
Sure. Yeah, I loved the accidental ambition because, you know, my fascination with alliteration, like Charm Cardinals, Connector Conference, Her Hideaways. And then when we did the pre-recording call, you know, a little bit back, we were like, accidental ambition. Like that totally summed up the whole conversation because that's what really happened. I had, growing up, I have three sisters and then the mom and dad. My dad was in the Air Force and my mom was a full-time stay-at-home mom. So all of my sisters are brilliant in their own way. But for me, I had a lot of struggles with how I learned in school. I'm very introverted. I feel like I'm highly sensitive. So I get very overwhelmed with loud noises, with bright lights. If there's like a lot of, if there's a lot of stimulus around, it really, impacts me. So in school, I did horrible. The first D I ever got was in the third grade, because that was the first, back then, that was the first year that they actually started giving us grades, you know, the A, B, C, D, F. And now they actually do like a number system. It's like, you know, 4, 3, 2, 1. I just felt very lost in the shuffle. I was surrounded by a lot of people at school. I was surrounded by people at home because of a family of six. You know, we did the family dinners and everything. And I just didn't know what introversion was until like my mid-30s. The struggle in school with my inability to learn in that setting made me feel like a total dipshit, especially like, sorry, we're going to have to add the E. I knew it was going to come out. It was going to come out. So
hey, unfiltered. But,
okay. Thank you. But maybe that will like discourage my parents from hearing this. No, just kidding. So with my sisters though, like I had the oldest sister who was super ambitious by like any, you know, definition of the word. She was the class president. She was brilliant. She did really well in school. She was able to communicate with people. Cause sometimes, you know, you have the book smart people who can't really have a conversation. So my oldest sister and then my younger sister were both like that. And I was just so like lost, like I said. So it really impacted my self-esteem and my confidence. And I just kind of like, I counted down the days to like graduate because, and first of, I mean, I almost didn't graduate high school, but in my 30s, it was after having, so I didn't go to college. I mean, I went to the community college, NOVA, Northern Virginia Community College. I did that for a couple semesters, but it literally felt like just burning money. And not that I'm very, you know, anyway, it just felt like a waste of money. It was very uncomfortable for me. I actually did with one of my first positions, I had to take courses. I was in like a stay in school program for a defense agency. And so I would work, you know, 9 to 5 and then go take a 3-hour class. And it was like torture for me because, you know, this is after like 15 whatever years of like feeling like a moron, you know? So I would sit in these classes and just be like, oh, you know, completely check out. I have a very creative mind. So I had the ability to just go inward and just like escape in my brain, you know, and just complete. I mean, it was like the words bouncing off my head. So that was the college experience. Like I was forced to do a couple courses in order to keep my job. And it was a government job. Like you're not going to, you know, pass up that opportunity just, you know, to not go to 6 hours of school a week. But it wasn't until my 30s when I had my boys and I started, and people like laugh at this and I'm like, it's not a joke. Like I started reading my kids books that were made for kids, for toddlers. That was the first time I ever felt like I was able to actually learn from something written. There were situations in like chemistry or biology where if it was like experiential learning, I could very easily pick up on that. But like to actually like read words and have it be a cohesive sentence, that just hadn't happened. And it was because, and I know now physiologically, it was because of all the cortisol pumping through my brain and just like my fear of like, oh God, I'm going to fail again. Like, why am I such a moron? Like, so, but then when I started learning stuff in like geography with my kids, like I was just like, oh, learning's not so bad, you know? And like, so then it just kind of opened my eyes to like this whole world out there that like, I could really figure anything out. So I started writing a blog and then I started building businesses. So here I am. I'm turning 41 in December. And like I said, I'm like literally living my best life. And now, Nicole, I bring up Audible all the time. I'm like, you guys really need to sponsor my life, because I tell everyone, especially people with kids who are adolescents, because I have a very juvenile nature, or childlike, whatever. But I tell my friends that have kids that are like in high school or middle school or whatever, I'm like, find the way that your kid can learn so that they cannot feel like an idiot, you know? So if you're not able to read stuff and comprehend it that way, and that's what I think is amazing about technology now, like we have, you know, there's tutorials on YouTube, like you can literally find any way to learn in this age. And it's just a very empowering thing to be able to know, like, okay, brain, like, you know, we're gonna work together and we're gonna figure some stuff out. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I think what's really kind of key in some of what you're saying is that your environment did not make it okay for you to really tap into your own potential. And that's not because of anyone necessarily doing anything maliciously. We've learned a lot about how people learn and about how kids learn and what environment settings are better. We've learned a lot about, you know, I have some friends that are like dyslexic or other things. We've learned a lot about learning disabilities and how that impacts. I don't know if you have any of those. I wasn't trying to imply that you do, but just in general, like the environment you were raised in didn't really help you discover your strengths, to be perfectly honest, is what it sounds like. And so that naturally had an impact on how you viewed yourself and how you viewed what you could accomplish in the world as you were growing up.
Yeah, that's totally spot on. Cause I would never say anything negative about my upbringing because we lived in a very structured home. And like there was, my dad was in the Air Force. So we were always kind of like in a bubble. Like it was by no fault of my parents. They just didn't have access to the resources that like maybe I do now, you know, and obviously I'm very hands-on with my kids, not with the homework, obviously. That's all Ryan. But like when it comes to like how they learn and everything, because I do, like I was never diagnosed with a learning disability. I don't recall ever being tested for any. It was just, I did just poorly enough where I flew under the radar. Like that I wasn't like, and I was a very super sweet kid because I think I am now too. Not a kid, but like I do think like I'm genuinely just a good, nice person. And my teachers, like I had teachers that gave me, you know, better grades, like that wouldn't have been graded like that. So like by any standard. So I had a lot of people in my corner. who saw that I was trying. They didn't know what was wrong with me. I didn't know what was, and it was just my ability to process stuff. And I do think it was because of being in the environment and just like being, and I don't know if you've done this, Nicole, or not, but it's called the Enneagram. And it's like a, it's kind of like a, it's like a test that you take. And I'm a five, which is like the investigator. So like I do my best work when I'm in a familiar place where I can control the setting and I can just be there in total silence, yeah, or maybe with some music on. Yeah. So I, but I mean, how are you going to do that? How are you going to know to do that? And it was, you know, so yeah. So it was at no fault of my parents or the school systems or anything. It was just, and it was, I don't know. It was, I think it was like from looking back on it, I think it was just a physiological response to all of the stress hormones that were pinging inside of my body. When the cortisol is like going through your system, your brain just shuts down because it's like a fight or flight thing, you know? So it's your, you can either like, it's supposed to help you to get out of bad situations. So I don't know, like a test really isn't like, you know, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you, for a long time, your big ambition in life, and I think this is true with a lot of women, correct me if I'm wrong, or your passion, maybe that would be a better way to phrase it, was to have your own family, right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So I just from a very early age, I just wanted the, you know, I just wanted to have kids. I've always been pretty naive about, you know, and I think maybe anyone without kids is kind of naive as to like just how consuming it is. But I wanted to meet the perfect guy. And I was just very, you know, like, I don't know if it's part of the creativity thing, but like, and it wasn't like, we weren't watching a lot of like my, even though I have three sisters, we're all pretty masculine. So we weren't watching like Disney princess stuff. Like it was like, you know, Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Tomb arc thing, whatever. But I just fantasized about like finding the perfect guy and having our babies. And that was like really all that I was striving towards. In the George Michael song, Father Figure. Oh my God, I freaking love that song. Like that was, so that was what, and you know, that might make me sound dippy or whatever, but like that was my version of the dream. And then, and it was kind of like, once I actually did have that, I was like, oh my God, like this is so much harder than I ever would have expected. And then like, and I think it was kind of like just a back, like, and I do believe that my kids are here for a reason. I think that they're going to do amazing things. I think they've improved the life upon everybody who they've touched, like our family and everything. I do know that there's a reason that they're here, but as for being a mother, like that is not like, that's not going to be like my stamp on the world, you know? And now because I have started doing these businesses and seeing a common theme with like the status quo of women, like not prioritizing themselves, like I've been able to see that, like, yeah, I mean, maybe the kid, having the kids was to teach me how to learn, you know?
So tell us a little bit. I know that your initial inspiration for Charmed Cardinals and this desire to see women put themselves first a little bit more and to reconnect with themselves, because as a mom, it's so easy to get lost in the shuffle of all the things that you're doing. Even, you know, you were a working mom as some of this story was unfolding. Like I remember there being periods where you were working, where there were some layoffs involved potentially because of being pregnant at the time. Like talk us through what your life was like as a working mom, even someone who at the time didn't see herself as super ambitious, but just trying to juggle all those different pieces and what that felt like and how that led you to eventually founding Charmed Cardinals.
Yeah. So I have been like, and I look at this in retrospect, and my dad actually pointed this out when my oldest was a couple months old and we were setting up my home office. He goes, did you like plan all this out? And like, he's like, I mean, cause you really have the sweetest setup of anyone. And like, were you, cause like my family all kind of like, we all thought like, okay, Marsha, like, you know, like, we just hope she gets through, you know, like, because it was kind of just the naivety and like just being feeling so lost and like out of control of my life. Because like all of the learning situations, like it caused a lot of drinking, a lot of, you know, I was going out, and that was how I dealt with the introversion, like having to work full time and then go to school at night. Like, I always felt so uncomfortably physically that the way that I was able to cope with that was through alcohol and other substances. So, you know, until I got married, not even that, but I got married to Ryan, and then I got pregnant, and, you know, I was sober for the whole pregnancy. But it was just like there really was no ambition. Like, to say that I wasn't ambitious would be like the understatement. It was kind of like I was just letting the universe pull me in certain directions, you know, as where now I like see it. I don't feel like I'm being pulled. I feel like I'm going into the direction, like I'm, you know, like I'm intentionally heading that way. But we were setting up the home office. So before I went to the employer that ultimately laid me off, I had been working for a family-owned business. I was doing outside sales of technology equipment. And so there was travel involved. I would have to go and do conferences. And it was like, oh my God, like put an introvert in a technology conference with a bunch of, anyway, it was an intense period. So I didn't see that. My husband and I got married. Was I still with that company? Anyway, I knew. So I had heard of this place that a couple friends were working at, and they allowed you to telework after a year. So here's the thing is, like, even though I wasn't ambitious, I was raised with a really great work ethic from my dad. And like, so anything that I would do, I would be able to do it to the best of my capability. Like with the exception of when I was 6 months pregnant and applying for jobs because I had to, because I was on, yeah, we were getting checks from the government. So they're like, you have to apply for jobs. I'm like, so I showed up to an interview super pregnant. And that was the only job I've ever interviewed for that I haven't actually got the position. So like, I have a way of being able to show up and for everything that I do. So I found out about this place, and it was like after a year you could work from home. So I was like, well, we're getting married and I plan on, you know, starting the family soon. So I went and I applied to this place, and then they called and did an interview, and then I did a panel interview and I got in, and, you know, I worked my face off. I did a great job. I was an admissions advisor. I just, you know, I work ethically. So I got pregnant, and I asked my supervisor, like, hey, when I have this baby, can I like work from home? And not like, you know, like you have to sign all these documents saying like, I'm not going to have my baby on me, you know, like, so I was like, we're going to configure our schedules, me and Ryan's schedules, so that we have to get as little care as possible. But I was working in Tyson's from Centerville. So I was working the 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. shift. And in this area with traffic, it was, you know, so I became an email advisor. So everything that I was doing was through email. You know, we had quotas that we had to meet. I got kind of promoted. They made me the international contact for our offices that were out of the country. So like, I was performing well. So I did that. I ended up, They did two rounds. I believe I got laid off the third round. So they did keep me around for as long as, you know, possible. But when I was 6 months pregnant with the second son, that's when I was laid off.
Do you find yourself going down an admin black hole from logging time, invoicing clients, and filing your expenses? I've had to log time for invoicing and budget allocation for the better part of my career. Along the way, I found hacks to shorten the amount of time I spend in the accounting tools, like tracking my billable hours in my Outlook calendar, where I'm already spending most of my day, and then logging them all in the accounting system one time at the end of the month. But my favorite hack so far is FreshBooks, hands down. The interface is so easy to use that I can get in and out quickly. Invoices are generated off of timesheets in just a few clicks. They look professional and they're easily shared with clients without ever having to leave the tool. Their app even makes filing expenses easier by letting me upload receipts on the go. Slash your admin time, not your earnings. Start your free trial today at freshbooks.ambitionoutloud.com.
So that was a difficult time because we went from having, you know, two incomes and the three of us to one income to the four of us. And I had to pay, we had to pay out of pocket for COBRA insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so we went from the 108 to 1200 a month. So welcome to the world, baby boy.
Yeah.
But I wanted, the first birthing experience was so traumatizing that we found this OBGYN office, and I loved every single one of those doctors. And so with all the stress that had happened, we lost like a really close friend in that time too. And he was like the second son of a family. And anyway, it was just a very emotional time. So I was like, I'm not changing my doctors. Like we need to, you know, like we could have done something different, but like, you know, that was an actual choice to do the COBRA insurance. So
you prioritized yourself in that decision, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely.
So from there, is that when you became a full-time stay-at-home mom, or what was that next phase like?
Yeah, so I became a full-time stay-at-home mom. It was a whirlwind. The youngest baby was very difficult. He came early because of his size. So he had eczema. We think he was colicky. It was a very, very trying time. And also being pregnant and having a crap ton of cortisol flood your system all the time because of, you know, oh, how are we going to make ends meet? Like, whatever. So he had, when he was around, I think he was two, that's when I sobered up and started blogging. So like I said, I was never drinking when I was pregnant with the babies. But then like after I stopped nursing with both boys, I went back to the booze. And so I sobered up and I started writing and blogging. And then that was my entryway to find like my tribe, as I call them, like my networking buddies. So I didn't want to promote my blog because it was kind of like a, you know, a cathartic healing process for the sobriety. So I started my first business. That first business, like it was the funnest, coolest thing ever because, and that's where I'm at right now with Her Hideaways, is like we're putting all the pieces together and it's just like my brain's constantly popping. Like I'm like really stressed out and everything, but like this, but it's a good stress, you know, but like the beginning phases is like so fun for me. And that's why I think too, like there's a lot of entrepreneurs like Barbara Corcoran and Damon John, just people from Shark Tank where they had like learning differences growing up. And like, once you remove the charge from having those challenges and you realize like, wow, I've made it this long or this far and I've had like a pretty big part to do with the success that I have in my life, then you're kind of, you don't have that fear of failure because you're so used to failing, you know, it kind of like, you're not scared of looking stupid or, you know, or people saying like, I don't understand what she's doing. Cause sometimes you don't understand what you're doing. So, oh my God. So anyway, so I do love that very beginning startup phase. So with the previous business, I started doing all these networking things. It was very jarring for me because of the introversion and also my husband, because we were in single income family, he was working 6 days a week as a tennis pro. So he was working a ton. I was the primary stay at home with the kids. So I started going to networking things and it was really the only thing that I was doing for myself, but I wasn't really doing it for myself because it felt really vulnerable being out there. Cause like I identified as being a stay at home mom, but I was trying to create this business to help bring money into the house, you know? And I was going to these vendor events and like being constantly rejected because it was a fashion product that hadn't existed before. And so I was trying to explain this product to people and I always ended up getting like residual sales from it, but like we were paying money in the hopes to earn money. And I was just super naive, which I think is a good thing, like with going into business. But like that was my only me time where I wasn't like the mom or the spouse or whatever. So there was one point where it was like, God, we're paying for a babysitter. I'm leaving the house. I'm paying money to be a vendor at these things. I'm not selling anything. And then, but like all of the women who were there, like they were showing up. And I just had to assume that some of them had like similar situations as me, you know, at home, like that they were doing this because they wanted to provide for their family or it was giving them some type of fulfillment. I just thought like, there's gotta be more, like there has to be something for them that's just for them. So that's where Charm Cardinals came from. I read a book, I was at a networking thing and the author talked about how she would invite people into her home. And it just like, from there, it just snowballed, you know? And I was like, I want to do this. There's so many women that I know that are doing everything for everyone except for themselves. And I want to do something for them and for me too. And I did. And I love Charm Cardinals. Like it's 4 years old. There's been iterations to it, but like that small community and just the, I believe in women. I think that we can change the world. I think we're living in an amazing time in history right now, but I think that it can be done in like a more pure and intentional way if we like actually take care of ourselves, fix the vessel, and it'll just be able to, you know, hit, I don't know, I'm trying to come up with something, but I've said a lot of words.
So as I listen to you, it sounds a little bit like what you're saying is that the first sort of phase of your life, in many cases, I'm not saying this is universal across the board. I'm sure there were many, many happy moments in there too. But that as a whole, you sort of felt maybe a little lost about some of
where
you were going. And mom was the role that you could see yourself in. But in other regards, you kind of felt lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that was the only thing that I ever thought that I could do well. And I do think I do like a really stand-up job. I think that women are very multifaceted and I think that we could do 100% at everything that we do. But I think that us as individuals need to be added to the pie, you know, like it needs to be. Yeah. So, but yeah, like I honestly, like I never saw myself like, I did want to be a veterinarian because I loved animals. And my mom was like, you know, that you'll have to like put some of them down and like, you're going to have to be dealing. And I was like, you know, so that one I didn't want to do anymore. But like, yeah, I never really saw myself as like being in a business suit or have visions of anything besides like me having a spouse and kids.
But it's not that you weren't putting yourself out there. You had jobs. You went to a community college for a while. You were working. It seems like you hadn't found anything fulfilling, like that was feeding your soul.
Right. Totally.
So yeah. How did you start to feed your soul? What was it about Charm Cardinals that made you start thinking, hey, feeding my soul is important and I should lean into this more?
Well, it was what led to Charm Cardinals was that I showed up at a networking thing and in every other previous instance, being in a group setting like that would usually like deplete me of energy. But I left and I was like, oh my God, like these women are amazing. Like I told, and sorry if they, I don't know how you do the audio, but like it gave me so much life just being at that one thing. And I went as a blogger, you know, an anonymous blogger. And so like I came home, my parents had been visiting. And so they were watching the kids and they're like, what'd you do? Why'd you go to a networking thing? And I was like, because my online friend like told me to go to it. I don't know. And then they're like, okay, well, what did you talk about? And like, they didn't know about the anonymous blog because like, I didn't, you know, like it was an anonymous blog. So I didn't want my family reading it. So, but it just like that spark. And then being in that and going to the first vendor event ever that I went to, like just having that light inside of me, like even though I was putting myself in situations that felt weird and like being inspired and motivated by these other women, like it just, I don't know. And my husband had been asking me, he's like, can't you find a hobby or find something? Because like, I was gray. I was so gray and dismal. And And it wasn't from the, you know, I was sober at that point. So it wasn't like the ups and downs from, you know, substance abuse. It was, I just felt like, you know, like bleh. And he had fly fishing. So when he wasn't working and providing for the family and everything, he would go fishing, and not all the time, but he would go fishing, and like, it would like give him another couple months of being able to work his face off and provide for the family. And then, you know, so he's like, I just wish you could find something like fishing, you know, for me. And I'm like, I just don't know. Cause I had never had anything that I was good at, but it was just being around these women and seeing like, and they were just talking about like what they could be bringing to the world, you know, like, this is my product, this is my service, this is how I'm going to help people and serve them. And it was all about what they were doing to provide value to the world. And I was like, I want to give me some of that. So yeah.
So you found yourself in community with other ambitious women for the first time.
For the first time ever. And it was like-minded. And I say like-minded all the time. And these women, like, with all different ages, sizes, races, religions, like, but it felt like a community, which it felt like the, you know, like my upbringing, like the Air Force. Like, I loved the diversity, like, of living on the base and having, you know, like, it was just that familiarity with like the common mission of these people, but like also everybody from all different walks of life. So yeah, it was the community. And then I was like, I can make community.
So at that point, did you start to connect the dots and be like, these women are ambitious and I feel like they're like me, so maybe I'm ambitious?
No, honestly.
No, not yet.
No, I think it was the conference, which is what actually like made me realize like, oh my God, I'm making life happen. Like, it's not just happening to me. Like, I always did go towards like what the next step was supposed to be. But until the conference, like, that was such a stretch for me. And then there was one moment where I had put the deposit. No, I actually paid the whole, I think I had to pay the whole amount. And this is like just last September. There's been a lot of change. But anyway, so I had paid the amount, and then I kept like, I was like, oh my God, that was really risky. Like, what if we don't get anyone to sign up? Like, what if I can't like recoup this money or whatever? And then I was like, Marsh, like, you have literally for 3 years now been providing experiences and workshops and like in-person meetups for people. And they've told you repeatedly what an impact it's had on their life and how it's made them feel, you know, like human, or like they can continue on, and how it's filling their cup and all of this. And I'm like, who cares? Like, we're going to have a good time. It's going to be an amazing time. Like, you know, so it was like making that really bold move of putting money somewhere. And I even thought too, I'm like businesses that haven't even launched, like they've, you know, like venture capitalists and stuff like that, like they'll put so much money into so much stuff. And I was like giving myself a hard time, because I told myself after the first failed business, I was like, I will never charge another thing again on credit. And then, but so I ended up having, I had $2,250 in like money in the checking account and the PayPal accounts and everything. And I had to charge like $250 on the Amex that I have been paying off. And I felt like, oh my God. But then I like totally reframed it. I'm like, $250 on credit. Like, come on, you know? And that first, you were there, Nicole, you actually presented at that first conference. It was baller. It was so good. So yeah. But yeah, it took me, and I actually did hire a coach in May. Because she's like, when people compliment you, you deflect. And I was like, what?
Yes, you know, this is true about you. You've done it several times in this interview.
Well, but that's the thing, is like, until somebody, so I was like, you know what I'm going to do? This lady just told me something, so I'm going to hire her, because that resonates. But I didn't understand it. Like, and I'm still like working through it, obviously. But like, when you're living inside your head, like I do, like, you're not really seeing like the timeline of the things that you're accomplishing and everything. So I'm just like trying to do the next right move, the next right thing, you know? And like, so, I mean, I don't know. It's funny though, because like when you came out with this podcast, I was like, I'm gonna approach Nicole and be like, can I be on your podcast? And like it felt like, but I'm not ambitious, you know? And it's just so funny because like I look at it now and I'm like, which I do. I with the coach, like having a coach, it's amazing because you literally can like navigate those areas where you're like, I feel like maybe I should be more proud of what I'm doing, you know, instead of thinking like, oh, anyone can do this, you know? And that was one of the things that she had me walk through. She's like, think of someone that you admire a lot. And imagine if you were to go up and just be like, this was life-changing. It was so amazing. And she was like, oh, it was nothing. And I was like, oh my God, like, is that what people, that would be like crushing, you know? And like, I don't know. So yeah.
This is exactly why I wanted you to come on, because one of my missions in life, right, is to enable women to see themselves as the ambitious women that they are. There's so many women that are uncomfortable recognizing their own ambition. And I definitely see that in you, but I also see you confronting these challenges head on. Yep. Because whether you're coming from, you're more of a serial entrepreneur, you have the working mom background, you've definitely kind of like planted your roots in serial entrepreneurship. But I see these same mental struggles in women in offices across this country. You get into the grind, you're feeling lost, things aren't going the way you thought they were going to go. You start to doubt yourself. You start to think, okay, well, maybe if the meritocracy is not working the way I thought it was going to work, like maybe I really am not up for this, or maybe I'm just not going to be able to make it the way I kind of thought I was going to be. And you're someone that's very intentionally leaning into some of those doubts and fears and working your way through them so that you really can step into your full potential. And that is absolutely the message, if nothing else, that I hope women take away from their interactions with this podcast and with Ambition Unboxed as a community. Because some of us got a head start in discovering our ambition earlier in life. But I really do believe deep down that everyone needs to feed their soul and lean into what makes them happy at some level.
Yeah, totally. That's like, you know, my oldest sister, the one who was like the high achieving, like she's doing really well where she's at and everything. But so it's important to listen to what people tell you. Like my dad being, like us setting up that desk in my home office, well, it was actually in my living room, but like when I was coming off maternity leave with the first kid, my dad saying like, you know, did you plan this out? Like, he's like, cause this really is like, you're like right outside the nation's capital and you're able to telework full time and you have this brand new perfect baby. And like, so you want to listen when people are saying stuff like that, because it is going, it's showing you, you know. And I do think that with women, like, it's so, so important to have positive people who are a little bit further ahead of you on the road that can, like, remind you of just how amazing you are. Because we're all fighting our own battles, you know, whether it's, like, trying to get promoted or like, you know, working on our personal life or, you know, so it's like, listen to the things that the people are telling you. And then if somebody says something like, hey, you deflect, hire someone to like help you navigate that, or look for resources on the internet, or go to your most trusted friend who, you know, is going to give it to you real. Because the reason that I played so small for so long was because, and I mean, I think I was playing pretty big too, but like the reason I wasn't recognizing it is because of the deflection, you know, but it prevented me from being just as big and bold as I could have been, you know, like, and I trust the timing of my life. And like you said, like, I do lean into the issues that I have, and I think that's a big part of sobriety, is like there's no skirting, you can't numb out if you're sober, like, you know. So it's like, you're like, okay, this keeps coming up, let me go into it head first, you know. So I think that's something that is just prevalent with women, is that we are just we're the doers, you know, there's like a bag I have. It's like, we're the doers, the makers, the creators, but like, you need to look back and be like, oh my God, like, I'm really awesome. Cause that will help you, you know, like be like, look at you like how a friend would look at you and just be like, oh my God, I'm doing amazing things. Like, yeah, this certain situation might suck right now, but like, I can do anything. Like, remember that time I did this? Like, so.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, and this leads to kind of her hideaways. I think part of acknowledging the spark is there and putting in the hard work to combat your self-doubts and insecurities is, it involves selfishness. It involves saying, I'm a priority for myself as much as for all the other people in my life, all the other things in my life. I know I'm capable of this much with all this baggage I've been carrying around. What could I accomplish if I put in the hard work to get rid of the baggage? And how do I find the space in my life to connect with myself so I can build my mental toughness and I can nurture myself as much as I nurture all the other people around me? So how is Her Hideaways, which is your new venture, going to help women with this?
Yeah. So I do want to bring up my spouse again, because when he was like, I wish you'd find a habit, or, you know, like a, not a habit, a hobby, or a habit, I don't know. I did go the first time I left with, after having both kids, I'd gone away for girls' weekend, and he told me, he's like, you need to do these like monthly or quarterly. The whole time I had in my head, like, this is going to be such a pain for Ryan. Like, he's never been at home with the kids for this long. But I came back and like, well, in preparation, I was super excited. I was, you know, doing stuff around the house, and like, and being away made me, for the first time, because like I said, my baby, the young one, he had a very difficult infancy. It made me miss him. And until that point, I had been going from minute to minute in overwhelm, like, I'm doing this mothering thing wrong, because they're 23 months apart. So, but like, being away, I was actually able to like miss my baby. And that made me connect with, even though I was away from him, it made me connect with him in such a maternal way that, like, I just feel like that was just a blessing that it happened how it did. Because when I got back, I was able to just grab that fat face and just squeeze him and just, you know, and like, I had been in the minutia, the day to day, the moment to moment with raising two babies at home, you know. But so when you go away and you take time away from your loved ones, it does help you to appreciate them more. Yeah, obviously, logistically, there's a lot of things that need to be taken care of before and after, depending on your household situation. So that's part of Her Hideaways, is we're going to be like, we're trying to mainstream like the fact that women should be taking care of themselves. Like, for men, I don't think they think anything like, oh, let me go on a golfer weekend, let me do this or whatever. For women, like, it has to be associated to like a big lifetime thing. Like, oh, I'm going away for a bachelorette weekend, or, oh, I'm going for this wedding, or, you know, like, there's, or someone just got a diagnosis, I need to go take care of her. Or there has to be like a reason behind it. Like, we're gonna, like, that's with Her Hideaways. And my partner's male too. And like, he gets it. He, understands the value in like having women take care of themselves by doing what we're doing. So when you do a her hideaways, like, you're giving yourself a blank slate. Everything is taken care of for you. You get a dining debit card. Everything is small town too. Like, so we're planning, like, we have a town scavenger hunt. Like, we're, it's going to be a fun time that also is going to give you that space where you can reflect, but have that white noise where like, you'll actually be able to look back and think like, what is it that makes me tick? What lights me up? You know? Cause we've all had like those moments, you know, where we see like just how magnificent we can be or how, what we've done. So this is going to give people that hassle-free opportunity, and you can bring a guest if you want. Yeah, that's what we're doing with Her Hideaways. We're making the idea of prioritizing yourself an option.
Because I'm really excited about this venture.
Thank you.
There are so many reasons and so many different points in my life that I I could see using her hideaways and doing it differently depending on what stage of life I was in. Like when my kids were really little, oh my God, I would have gotten a her hideaways weekend just to sleep.
Yep.
And soak in a tub and maybe read a book or watch something on TV. Like getting the quiet space to like catch up on sleep and like re-energize as a human being. That's what it would have been when I was the mother of young infants.
Right.
When I was like mid-career and I was ambitious, but still a working mom, but also, I don't know, just like trying to survive the grind, but knowing that I wanted to move up the ladder, I would have taken a her hideaways as like a part, I just need to veg out and relax for a little bit and maybe like go do something exploratory because I haven't fed the cultural like side of my soul for a while. And you know, walking around a small downtown community with all those little shops you can pop into and art galleries, like that would have been something I hadn't done for a long time. So that part would have appealed to me. But also I probably would have taken a day to be like, okay, what is my plan for my career for the next couple of years? Because when you're in the middle of the grind, it's hard to pick your head up and look and see what the big picture is. And now myself as a business owner, like I probably would tend to treat it more like it's like a personal retreat, I guess. You know, like companies have corporate retreats and they're supposed to be your getaway from the daily grind and strategize out your plan. And so that would probably be how I use it mostly going forward is like, okay, this is my dedicated retreat weekend to figure out my strategy for the next quarter, the next 6 months or whatever. But what I love about her hideaways is that it's so flexible. Depending on what I need that quarter to fulfill myself, I can make it into that.
That's exactly right. And like we've actually, so we have three type of packages. We have the rest, the restore, and the re-envision. Sorry, you had said re-energize and I was like, oh my God, did she literally just mention all of them? But so the re-envision is kind of like, it's a package that's geared towards like business owners or professionals that like need to do exactly what you said. Like, where am I going professionally? Like, so there's going to be resources, but it's like a business staycation type thing. And then there's brain foods, but it's like a way to get strategic with your future, but then also still have all the small town amenities where you're, you know, it's covering every aspect. Like, and then the rest one I think would be like for the stay at home moms who are like, I need to Netflix and chill by myself with popcorn and pizza. Like, you know, and then, which is what I did kind of like with that girls trip where it just took me away far enough where I was able to see what it was I had at home, you know? And then the restore is kind of like a pamper type thing where you can get like the massage on site or you can get, you know, a manicure or like, and it's like the everything in the town. So this is what I think it is it's like, it's a super easy weekend for an adventurer who doesn't want to put all the time and effort into coming up with their own adventure. So we're already doing that. Like you get a proposed itinerary, like, you know, if you're interested in this, like go over here, walk to this waterfall. If you want to do the stand-up paddleboarding, you know, that kind of thing. So we know the town intimately, we've built those relationships. And so that's like, you can just show up and then everything's taken care of for you. It's going to be so magical. And the thing that I love about this the most is that I feel like it's like the perfect trifecta with, you have Charm Cardinals, which is the recurring monthly, you know, like introspective meetings in a group setting. Cause you know, it is a sisterhood. So we do these things in a group. So it's like an opportunity to be seen and be heard. And then we have the Connector Conference, which is like a 1 day action pack, like full, you know, and it's all about personal and professional development. So it fulfills you in that way. And then now you have the staycations, the Her Hideaways, which gives you an entire weekend to just reconnect with yourself, introversion. Oh my gosh, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. And the other thing I love about it is the subscription option. Yep. You can just go in and be like, my 4 weekends away for the next year are taken care of.
Yep. That's exactly
once a quarter, right. It's all set and forget. And I just show up and I enjoy.
Right.
Because as a woman, you don't want to put more planning time into something that's supposed to benefit you. You're so exhausted from planning everything all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So we do, we're going to have the one-off packages where you can just like, if you're like, okay, I need to go and, you know, in a month. And then, but we also do have the subscription, which is kind of like an accountability thing. So it's like, we're going to be like, hey, Nicole, you have 6 days. Let's book, you know? And then it's like, oh my God, it's been that long since I went. Like, let me book this out, you know? So it's, yeah, it's, I think it's really smart for us to be hitting both sides where you can do an all-inclusive package, you know, the themed package, or you can subscribe because you know that you need this and you need that accountability to, you know, set yourself up.
Well, and I heard in another podcast, I can't remember which one at the moment, recently, that the key to self-care is to make it routine. It has to be like a regular practice. If you wait until shit hits the fan, it doesn't matter how much meditating you do. It's a little bit too late at that point. You've already gone off the rails. Like, sure, it might help you come back on the rails faster, but you've got to make it a regular priority in your life for it to be really effective.
This is why I love having you as a member and, you know, a Connector Conference repeat presenter is because you get it. Like, you know? And I'm sorry it took me this long to figure out how to be ambitious, okay? So, but now I get it. I feel like we're both drinking each other's, you know, tea or coffee or whatever.
There are no apologizing. You know, ambition is beautiful at any age, and no one is ever too old to lean into their ambitions.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Marcia, we need to bounce, but is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience today?
I just want to say that, like, you're with you till the end. So just make sure that the time and energy that you're putting into everyone else, you're putting into you too, because like, if you're not right, nothing you touch will be right. So take care of yourselves.
Very well said. Can't pour from an empty cup.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We will link in the show notes all the wonderful ways that you can connect with Marcia. Do you want to run really quick through just sort of your social media handles, where people can find you?
Yeah. On Instagram, it's at Charmed Cardinals. And that's where I do like more personal stuff, you know? We also have at Her Hideaways. That's just for the hideaways. If you want the personal stuff, I would do at Charmed Cardinals. And then we're on Twitter too, at Charm Cardinals, at Connector Conference, and then at Her Hideaways too.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Marcia. I am really looking forward to my first Her Hideaways getaway weekend.
Me too. Yay.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. A quick update for you since this episode was recorded. The next Connector Conference is coming up on March 20th in Sterling, Virginia. I will be there leading a breakout session and would love a chance to meet you in person. Early bird ticket sales end on February 15th. As a presenter, I also have a limited number of discount codes available to share with you. Use the code MAGU25, that's MAAGUO25, to help support this podcast and receive $25 off your ticket. The number of discount codes available is limited and will go on a first-come, first-served basis, so don't delay. Learn more and get your ticket at connectorconference.com. That's our episode for today, and thank you for listening. We want to hear from you. This podcast is all about showing up and helping to serve you so that you can accomplish your goals, and we want to celebrate you. So if you head over to ambitionoutloud.com, you can record your own work wins for us to share on a future podcast episode, or record questions, things you'd like to have us address in future episodes. So that's ambitionoutloud.com, or you can always just email us at info@cultivateinc.com. Ambition Out Loud is produced by Cultivate Inc. LLC, with music today by Steve Rice Music. Stay in touch. You can connect with us on Instagram at ambition_unboxed. New episodes will be available every other week. I do, after all, have clients to serve and a company to run. If you enjoyed today's episode, please head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast. It does a lot to help us appear in rankings
And don't forget to share it with a friend. Until next time, remember, your ambition is a beautiful thing.
I'm gonna go down swinging. There'll be a tale to tell. Like a boxer in the ring, I'll give my everything. Until I hear that final bell, well, I'm gonna go down swinging, whether I'm right or wrong. I know without a doubt, until the lights go out.